2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. Going to look here at the account of Naaman the leper. This one here is going to be called Wash and Be Clean. Wash and Be Clean. Hey, can I just say one thing? I'm grateful for Gilead Baptist Church. Hey, if I lived in the Macon area and I was looking for a church, Gilead Baptist Church would be the place that I would come to. Right? It's just real. Right? We serve a God that is real. And hey, we just have a good group of people that just want to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And that's all that matters, right? We just love the Lord and serve Him and praise Him. So I'm just grateful that the Lord brought us here to Macon, Georgia and Gilead Baptist Church. Amen? And so we're here in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 and we'll read down here and look at this account here. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then would he say it to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh little child, and he was clean." Verse number 13 there. Wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. But Lord, I need you here. I pray, Lord, you'll fill me with your Spirit right here. Lord, I pray you'll use me. Give me your words. Give me your thoughts. Give me your clarity of speech here today, Lord. And we'll give you the glory and honor for everything that you do here today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, of all the miracles of Elisha's ministry, probably one of the most well-known is the one we have just read here today. In fact, it's the only miracle of Elisha's that's recorded in the New Testament. And Jesus said this in Luke 4:27. He says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." You see, Naaman was the chief commander of the Syrian army, but he had a deadly disease. That deadly disease of leprosy. Now in the eyes of the king of Syria and in the eyes of all the people in Syria, Naaman was a great man. He was held in the highest of esteems. He was a highly decorated soldier. But the Bible says, but he was a leper, right? Leprosy, a deadly skin disease, meaning you were going to die an excruciating death. Leprosy would eat away at your skin to the point where you would eventually die. Your ears would be eaten away. Your nose would be just, the flesh would just fall off. It was an excruciating way to die. All right. Now, leprosy also in the Bible is referred to as a type of sin. And the fact that it always starts out small, but it finishes big. In James 1:15, the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time, sin will bring death. Having leprosy in the time of Naaman meant that you had a death sentence upon you. You were going to die in a very painful, painful way. Without some miracle, every leper would die in that condition. The same is true of us here today. The same is true of you in here today. Without some miracle of the grace of God, we all face eternal death into the lake of fire. You see, when God says, do something a certain way, it must be done the exact same way that He says. We do not get to alter it. We do not get to decide. We do not get to change it. You see, Naaman was a very powerful man. He was a very mighty man. He was second only to the king of Syria. He had great power. He had very much power. He could speak and things would happen. He could do many things with his power. But you know what that led to? That led to him being a very prideful man. You see, pride is what almost caused Naaman to remain a leper. He didn't want to humble himself and dip himself in the muddy Jordan River. Oh, not that Jordan River. That's muddy. Muddy. Right? Pride. That's been the ruin of so many people. Right? Pride will keep a person lost and on their way to hell. But pride is something that God absolutely hates. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:5 that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:6 says this, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. You see, had Naaman succumbed to his pride, he would have died a leper. He never would have been clean. But we read the account, we read the story, and we see here that Naaman humbled himself before God, before the man of God, and he came to believe in the one true God in Israel. So today I'm just going to give you some truths here from our story here on wash and be clean. The first thing I want you to see here is the confusion of Naaman, right? The confusion. Look there in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Hey, look, Naaman was confused. He was confused. He did not understand the type of healing that he needed and what was required to be healed. But he had a gift, though. Oh, what a great gift. He was prepared to give silver. He was prepared to give gold. But listen to me. All the money in the world could not heal Naaman of his leprosy. You see, the king evidently had more wealth than he did wisdom. And I'm reminded of the rich man in Luke chapter 16, the same scenario. The rich man was a very rich man. He could eat what he wanted. He could go where he wanted. He could do what he wanted. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, the torments of hell, right? He was tormented in the flames of hell. He died without Jesus. In Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we live in a world that is confused. This world that we live in is so confused about the genders. Hey, look, God made two genders. He made male and He made female. I don't care what the internet says about some 150 genders. God made male and He made female, and those things haven't changed. All down the line, man has always known there's two genders. But today, so many people are confused. The devil has blinded them to the very fact of that matter. Right? This world is confused with the homosexuality crowd. Right? God did not create man to be with man. He created man to be with a woman. Right? And He calls that kind of thing an abomination. Look, the world is so confused. Right? They're so confused on right and wrong. But the Bible says this in Isaiah 5:20. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." He says, "Woe unto them people. Woe unto people." Hey, look, there are many people going down a path right now because of their confusion that they truly believe they are right in their own minds. But it's leading them to death. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Hey, they do not realize that death is coming quick. Death is eternal separation from God for all of eternity in a place of hell. Now, this death, this hell, it awaits them at the end of their road. Hey, look, Naaman was a great man. He was a mighty man in valor. If there was some great thing that Naaman could have done to be healed, he would have done it. He would have done it. But listen, doing some great thing wasn't going to heal Naaman. Doing some great thing isn't going to take you or I to heaven. You see, man's ways may seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you could flip over to Matthew chapter 7. I want hold your place here in 2 Kings, but flip over to Matthew chapter 7. I want to show you this verse is here. That's why you got to know the truth of God's Word. What we think may seem right in our mind and in our heads, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, the Bible tells us those things that we do that lead to death. He says here in Matthew 7, 21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." All right, so right there he's saying, hey, look, everybody that says Lord or Jesus isn't going to heaven. Right? That's what he says. I didn't say that. That's what he says. He says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What's the will of his Father? Jesus came to seek and to save all the lost. Everybody that's lost. He came to save everybody. He died for everybody. It's God's will that everybody be saved. Verse 22 says, "Many," listen, "many," check out that word there, "many," not a couple, not a few, "but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." All over this world, people are preaching Jesus. All over this world, people are doing good works and doing good things for the church and for the sake of Christ. But listen to what Jesus says here in verse 23. He says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Hey, look, many people think they will go to heaven because of what they have done. They think they will go to heaven because of what they are, what they've done, their good works. They think that God is going to accept them for what they are or what they've done. Hey, look, I was the same way for 38 years of my life. I thought when I died, I would stand before God and God would say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And He'd start pulling out of the bag all of my good works on the scale. And boy, that good works on that scale, they were just piling up. But every once in a while, He'd put some bad works over here and it tipped the scale, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? But eventually, there would be just enough good works in that bag to tip the scale so I'd get to heaven. Amen? But that's not the way the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches, right? My good works are nothing, not taking me to heaven. Here's the thing. When you stand before God, it's not going to be so much what you did, but what you are. Think about it. Not what you did, but what you are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm talking about being a new creature, a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about doing penance. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not talking about doing the best we can with what we've been given here on this earth. I'm talking about what Jesus is talking about being a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 3, Jesus calls it being born again. Right? He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven unless there's a new birth. In 1 Peter 1:23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, we were born corruptible. This flesh, this skin, it's corruptible, right? We've got to be born again, incorruptible. And he says the only way you can do that is by the Word of God. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, not your works. It's all about being born again. You see, no one can be born again in the Lord Jesus Christ and continue on the life that they used to live. The life that you did live before you got saved. Hey, look, when I got saved at 38 years old out of drinking and out of the bars and all of that, sin, 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 when I got saved and got into the truths of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, you know, came in me at that moment of salvation, I could not go back into those places. I was changed. There was a difference. God had made me into a new creature, a new person. I could not go back to those things that I did before. You see, there should be a change in somebody who's been born again. Somebody who professes Christ. Bible says they're a new person. Right? I think of Paul on the road to Damascus. You know the story. Paul's on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, to arrest them, to have them put into jail and have them put to death. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ makes His presence known in his life. He meets the Lord Jesus Christ on that road. He gets saved. First thing he says is, Lord. He calls him Lord. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, he was a new man. He was a new creature. He was born again. No more persecuting the Christians. He went into Damascus a Christian. Now he's going to be persecuted and ultimately put to death. But look, there are so many people in this world, so many people in Baptist churches across this world that think they're going to go to heaven because they're a member of a Baptist church. No church can take you to heaven. It doesn't matter if it's a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church. It doesn't matter. So many of those people are trusting in their baptism to take them to heaven. I can't tell you how many people I talked to and I said, hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? You know what they say? First thing a lot of them will say is, I've been baptized. Right? So that tells me you're putting your faith and trust in your baptism and not Jesus Christ. Right? The baptism does not save you. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness in life. Hey, look, the first step of obedience after salvation is to get baptized. Right? When Peter or when Paul went into the Damascus, he was blinded. Right? After that, he got baptized. All right? After salvation, we get baptized. We do not get baptized in order to have our sins forgiven. We get baptized because we've been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. And you probably heard this, if you trusted in your baptism to save you, you went down into that water a dry sinner and came up a wet sinner. You see, baptism is only a public testimony. Hey everybody, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol, right? It's kind of like my ring here. If you walked in today and you said, oh, that guy's got a ring on, he must be married. The ring doesn't make me married. Baptism doesn't make me a Christian. You got to be born again for that. It's a symbol, right? It's a symbol. All over this world, we all have a problem. We all have the same problem. Our greatest need in this life is not food. Our greatest need is not food, all right? You come here today, you stick around, you're going to get a meal, right? We're going to have a fellowship time and a meal. Amen. Praise the Lord. But guess what? By the end of the day, you're going to be hungry again. But you come to Jesus Christ, He is the bread of life. You'll never hunger again. But all over this world, we all have the same problem. We all have the greatest need. The greatest need of all mankind is to get to heaven. But the confusion out there is so much that it leads so many people to death. I couldn't imagine if we were able to just open the pits of hell today and just say, hey, how come you never got saved? How come you never trusted Jesus Christ? So many people, the excuses, hey, I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time. I knew all that in my head. I thought I had more time. I thought I could wait. I thought I could put it off. You know, I thought I wasn't that bad. Well, here's the thing. The Bible says we are that bad. You see, we've all broken God's law. We've all broken God's greatest law. You know what that is? Turn to Matthew 22. Let me show you this here real quick. If you could flip over to Matthew 22, well, I'll show you the God's greatest law that we've all broken here. In Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 37 and 38. Right? Before I got saved, I didn't know about this verse. I didn't know that I'd already broken God's law. Even though I was a pretty good person in my own mind, Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So let me ask you, how are we doing there? We've all fallen and come up short, haven't we? Right, we've all fallen short there. We've all broken God's law, haven't we? Exactly. You see, and here's the thing, when God looks at us, that's what He sees. He sees our sin. He sees us separated from Him. He sees us dead in our sins. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In God's eyes, we were ungodly, sinners, enemies with God, dead in our sins, no exception. Even though I thought I was a pretty good person. No exception. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, look, nobody likes to hear that, do they? Nobody likes for you to say, hey, God's Word says you've sinned. You're a sinner, right? Nobody likes to hear that. It's like me, I thought I was pretty good. Most people think they're pretty good. They don't think that they're that bad. And most of all, they don't think that they're bad enough to where God would send them to hell. But listen to this in Isaiah 64:6. Says, but we are as all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So everything that I thought was good coming out of that bag onto that scale to the good side, everything that I thought was good, God said what? He says it's no good. He says it's like filthy rags. Not going to get you to heaven. You see, there's no good thing about you and me that'll take us to heaven. The Bible says in Romans 8:8 that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This old flesh, nothing I can do can please God. Hey, I can do every good thing. You can do every good thing you can think of. Hey, I can go to church. I can tithe. I can give them my time. I can give to the poor. There's a good one. I give to the poor. Hey, I can give up drinking. I can give up smoking. I can give up cursing. I can do all those things. Let me tell you, that's not going to get you to heaven. That is not going to get you to heaven. Man's ways seem right, but the confusion will lead to death. If you would, flip back over to 2 Kings chapter 5. And look there in verse number 10. 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Hey, all you have to do is wash and be clean. You can wash and be clean here today. Verse number 11, but Naaman was wroth. He was very mad. He was wroth. He was angry. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Hey, look, Naaman thought that Elisha would come out and meet him. Naaman was so full of pride, he thought, this guy's definitely going to come out to me. He's going to wave his hand over my leprosy. He's going to do some great thing, maybe even say some great words, and ultimately, he's going to heal him, right? That's what Naaman thought. Naaman thought what Elisha told him to do was ridiculous. And there in verse number 12, he says, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Right? Naaman thought he had a better way. So many people, if we pull the veils of hell apart, and so many people thought they had a better way. So many people think they know the way, but they're confused. Naaman thought he could be healed by washing in the river of Damascus. But that's not what God said. He's like those that ignore the gospel, that hear the gospel, they reject it, and then they invent one up in their own mind. We hear the truth, but we reject it for I thought. Naaman thought, but Naaman was wrong. Hey, look, if he did not come God's way, he would have died a leper. He had to come God's way. Man's ways are the ways of death. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Hey, we just need to trust God. Hey, I don't know. I can't fully understand it. We just need to trust God, take God at His word. So many people are confused, just like Naaman was confused. But let's look here, secondly, at the cleansing of Naaman. The cleansing of Naaman there in 2 Kings 5, in verse 10, it says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Hey, wash and be clean. God told a Naaman here to dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll be clean. It's that simple. It's that simple. Do what He says. This was the one way, the only way that he was going to be healed. He wasn't going to be healed in the waters of Damascus, and he wasn't going to be healed if he only dipped 6 times. If he only dipped 5 times, he had to dip 7 times. Hey, look, here's the thing. Here's the point. If you're going to get to heaven, you must come the way the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Hey, many are flocking. The world is flocking to that wide way, the destructive way. In verse 14, the Bible says there, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God has a way, one way, one way, and it's in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. Jesus says He is the only way, so either He is the only way or He is a liar. And we know God, Jesus is the very Son of God, and He died on that cross for all of our sins. And salvation has always been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's always been Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You got to receive the gift. Hey, you can talk about it. I knew about it up here for years. I knew about it, but I never received the gift. I didn't ever make it mine. And Hebrews 9:22 says, well, without shedding of blood is no remission. It's got to be a shedding of the blood. The water doesn't save. The water doesn't wash away the sins. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood and died. He was buried and He rose again the third day. The gospel message, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. That's the message of hope. That's the message of peace. That is the message of eternal life. That is the message to be clean. And if you tune me out here today, you need to listen. You're not getting to heaven till you come to these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Not according to the preacher, not according to some man, but according to the Scriptures, according to God's Word. And Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You get that? It's the power of God, not my power, not your power. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is it. If you think you're going to heaven by some other way, you're not going, friend. You got to come to Jesus Christ. And it's so simple. John 3:16, you know the verse. He lays it out as simple as that. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's that simple. But you got to know that word belief. Belief isn't up here. Belief isn't just knowing that, oh yeah, Jesus Christ existed. Hey, it's a proven fact Jesus Christ existed. You got to believe. That belief means to trust. It's a heart trust. You got to trust that His death and burial and resurrection is the only way that I'm getting to heaven. You got to trust it. Not trust your baptism. Not trust your good works. You say, "Well, preacher, what does that look like?" Well, here's what it looks like. In Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll be saved. He didn't say you might be saved, you hope to be saved. He says you will be saved. He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Hey, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I trust Him, what He did on that cross for me. Because nothing that I could do could ever get me to heaven. But when He shed His blood and died there, He paid it all. There's nothing that I can do. The only thing left to do is John 1:12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Again, it's a gift. You got to receive it. You can know about it, and you can die and go to hell. And if you die today without Jesus Christ, where will you go? If you've not received that gift, you will go to hell just like the rich man, and you'll lift up your eyes, being in torment of the flame, and you will never, ever, ever get out of that place. Never, ever. There in 2 Kings chapter 5, look there in verse 13. He says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean." How simple. How simple. Wash and be clean. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." And Naaman came to that point where he was willing to throw it all in. He was willing to go back home without being cleansed. He had traveled all that way, and he was willing, because of his pride, to go back home. Hey, what if he would have just left? What if he wouldn't have went down to that Jordan River and dipped seven times? He would have died a leper. No doubt he would have died, and we never would have been reading about him today. Hey, I know, Lord, this doesn't make sense. You want me to dip in this dirty water seven times? Okay, I'll just do it. Hey, you want me to trust Jesus Christ alone for my salvation? Hey, it doesn't fully make sense, but hey, I'm just going to trust your word. I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to take you at your word. Hey, have you been washed in the blood? Have your sins been forgiven? In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Hey, you're here today and you're like, "I've got plenty of time. I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to die next year. I've got plenty of time to think about eternity." Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's our life. Right? That little puff of smoke. You see it for a second. That's our life. The Bible says that's our life. You don't have much time. People put off getting saved, and they put it off, and they put it off, and eventually they die. Had I died before I got saved, I would have no doubt woken up in hell. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That day is coming for every one of us. That day the old heart stops to ticking. The day the old lungs stop breathing. That day is coming. Naaman was cleansed. He was healed. He was made new. What about you? Have you been cleansed? Let me give you the last thing here. I want you to see the change in Naaman. Look there at verse 15. 2 Kings 5 and verse 15. It says, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Hey, Naaman was healed, and he quickly returned to Elijah to make a confession of faith in the one true God of Israel. Hey, you see, when God does a work in a person's life, he wants to be with God's people. Before I got saved, I didn't want to go to church. Before I got saved, I didn't want to be around Christians. They were just weird. All right? They were weird, right? But when you got saved, that's who I want to hang out with, right? I want to be around the brethren, the sisters. I want to be in the house of God. Why? Because I'm changed. I'm a new creature. I've been born again. You see, that's fellowship. That's what we should want. We should desire that fellowship with God. But hey, here's the thing. Naaman thought. He thought he had a way, but he was wrong. He was wrong. And many times our ways of thinking are wrong as well. And fortunately for Naaman, he changed his way of thinking. He changed his way of thinking, and he did what the man of God told him to do. He went down there and he dipped seven times, not six times, seven times. And look, moral of the story is, if you are going to get to heaven, you got to come through Jesus Christ. It's not about what I think. It's not about what the world thinks. Hey, we have to submit ourselves to the Word of God, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, get born again, know you're going to heaven. So as I conclude here, hey, maybe there's some Christians here that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts today. Maybe there's some sin in your life that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of. Maybe it's things going on in your life, things you're looking at on TV, maybe over the internet. Maybe it's our words. Maybe it's our words in our homes. Maybe it's our words at the workplace. Things that we say, gossip. Maybe it's an area that we struggle with, just like Naaman. Do we struggle with pride? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today about pride? And hey, just give it to the Lord. God wants you to trust Him, not your perceived strength. Because our perceived strengths are weaknesses. Our good things about us are filthy rags. So what sin do you need to be cleansed of here today? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you willing to give it all to Jesus today? Are you willing to give it all to Him? All that is required is this. We sang the song. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now when we sang that song, do you mean it? All to Jesus, I surrender. Hey, first thing you got to do is be born again. If you've been born again, all to Jesus, I surrender. Let's pray.